Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Hey there, it's Crystal P. Willingham once again on the Glam Network Radio, serving on blogtalkradio.com. We're here for another exciting show, another time of fellowship, girl talk, and just, you know, doing what we do, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us again. Last week we had an awesome, awesome week, and this week we're going to have another powerful week. Tonight we have my friend, superhero trainer, Wonder Twin, Dr. Sequita Sutton. She's going to talk to us tonight about some wonderful things about moving forward in your future. Sometimes we get free, and the next step is how to stay free. She's going to talk to us tonight. Powerful, awesome woman of God, very dynamic speaker. She is a minister. She's a preacher. She's a mother, a wife. Her testimony alone is very powerful, and I hope she lets us in on a little bit of it so that you can understand why and how she knows how to move forward. You are going to enjoy this show tonight. But right now, we're going to pay a bill, play a little music, and then we'll be right back with Dr. Sequita Sutton on Glam Network Radio on the blogtalkradio.com server. God bless. We'll see you in a few seconds.
This show segment is brought to you by Rise Management and Consulting Firm. Rise Management and Consulting Firm is helping you rebuild your credit. Learn how to understand your credit, read your credit score, understand your credit rights, repair your credit. Legally watch your credit score improve within 30 days. You'll get consultations, unlimited email access, and 10% off your first product purchase. For more information, visit www.risemcf.com. That's www.risemcf.com. Or visit them on Facebook, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, helping you rebuild your credit.
Didn't know it. apart.
As we stretch our hands to thee, God, we trust you. As you give us the air that we need to breathe. This segment is brought to you by Shulamite Women Magazine, an online magazine for today's Christian women. Get real talk on the real issues at ShulamiteWomen.com.
Well, all right. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Right before you heard from Shulamite Women Magazine, by the way, go by the website. So many exciting things are coming up in the future for Shulamite Women Magazine. You might want to go there and check them out. Before that, we heard from LaTanya Powers. Life support. Some of us have no idea how much life support we are getting right here. And some of you need life support. You've been asking God to help me breathe, let me get through this last season, this last break, this last moment, this last step before I cross over. It seems like you've claustrophobic. You can't breathe. You can't see. You can't hear. You know you need to move, but how do I move? Where do I move? Do I move up, down? Do I slow down? Do I speed up? Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right? I'm at the fork in the road. God, what do I do? And I'm pretty sure that tonight you'll get an answer somewhere in the conversation that we have tonight, okay? Listen, before we go on, I'm going to give you the nugget for today. The nugget for today is very, very eye-opening. I was talking to one of my mentees today, and I said something in conversation, and I had to repeat it and say it one more time. And she was talking about being overwhelmed, and I'm in school, and I got to do this, and I got to keep up with that. And, you know, at first when I was in school, I was okay, but now, you know, hey, I got this, and I guess the thrill is gone, but I don't have time now. I'm just busy. And I said something to her that made her think as well. And this is what I want to say to you. You know, you can be doing nothing, and when you do nothing, you have all the time in the world. You can paint your nails, sip coffee, watch some stories, Facebook, you know, watch videos, Netflix and chill, all of that. And you can be married, you can have a job and be in a relationship and still have a lot of time on your hands. But when you begin to converge all of the gifts and talents you have inside of you, all of the goals and things that you got going on, all of a sudden your life gets busy, which it should. That's a sign of progress. When you're doing nothing, you have all the time in the world. But when you're busy about living, time is not so much available to you, but you're still busy. You're still getting things done, and that is what we call progress. And God says that His grace is sufficient for us. And when you're pursuing those things in your life, going to get another education, building a business, starting a new venture, getting married, having a baby, whatever those new adventures are in your life, God's grace is sufficient for you, and you can handle it. As long as you stay in relationship with Him and synchronize your life with His will. Synchronicity is very, very important. So I told her today, synchronize your life, girl. Get things in order. Put things in perspective. Make sure that you are in God's perfect will, and He will give you the grace to complete all those tasks that you need to complete. And, you know, by the end of the day, when you finally let go and relax, you'll find that you even have a couple of hours at the end of your day to relax and do some of the things that you want to do. Remove those things off of your plate that God did not put there. Ask God to show you what those things are. Bring them to a halt. Tie in on that knot and get it out of the way. Some of y'all got platters. My husband said, I have a platter, not a plate. You need to reduce, or what I call streamline your life. Reduce that platter to a plate. Have the necessary things from the buffet on your plate that fit your life and get moving. We are getting stuck doing a whole lot of nothing, and that's not what God's will is for us. So I just want to throw that nugget out there for you today. I hope you enjoyed that because I did. I enjoy eating it. But God is so good to us, and God has been so good to my guest tonight. I have had the opportunity to hear her minister. I've had the opportunity to hear her talk. I've read her book. Her book is Prescriptions for Women, Letting Go and Living Now. And we're kind of going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But I hope that she gives you guys at least a 5 or 6 minute synopsis of her testimony. And I'm telling you, all of you that are listening by phone and you're listening online, When you hear this, you'll have to ask yourself, what excuse do I have? Do I even have an excuse not to live anymore? Do I have an excuse not to go anymore? When you read people about people like Job, when Job lost everything, he lost his cattle, he lost his land, he lost his children, his wife, and he lost his friends. He had no support. And when you get to that point where you've got nothing, you look at Job and say, how? And then those scriptures begin to come up in your spirit. Though they slay me, yet will I trust him. I've lost it all, but I still trust God. God allowed Job to be tried because God knew the heart of that man, Job. He would not turn on him. And you just never know. That 1 second that you decide to give up is the 1 second more that was needed for you to get victory. So tonight, I want to introduce to you my guest. I could talk all night about her. This is my friend and my sister and wonderful, wonderful woman, Dr. Saquita Sutton. Dr. Sutton, are you here?
I am. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. It's good to have you on the show again. This is your my second time having the pleasure of having you on the Blog Talk Radio with Glam Network, and I so appreciate your time and speaking to the ladies tonight. I hope that you give us a five-minute synopsis of your testimony. And I didn't want to exploit that because that is a testimony. I don't like exploiting testimonies, but yours is so powerful. And there's some women listening tonight that I've even talked to today that told me they just can't make it. They can't do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And just weeping and crying and pray with them. But I want them to hear how you came out of the adversity that you were in so that these ladies can hear this powerful testimony from you.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to share my gift, to share my testimony. I believe that we overcome by our testimony, and when we share it with others, we give them the power to overcome as well. So I don't mind sharing it because I'm no longer that. Yeah. It happened to me, but I no longer live in that place. When I was about 24 years old, I was kidnapped at gunpoint. I wasn't necessarily in the wrong places. I wasn't doing the wrong thing. I was a PK kid. I still am a PK kid. And living for God, so I thought, in the church, but kind of living in this haze of God through my parents. And I remember going out to get some medicine for my son for asthma. He was sick with an asthma attack and had gotten out of the hospital. So I went out to get some medicine. And when I went to get back in my car, I went to open the door and someone came up behind me and grabbed me and I was staring at a gun and they forced me to get in the car. And when I tried to get out on the other side, someone else came and I was looking at another gun and they forced me to get back inside and begin to strip everything off of me, begin to tie me up and threaten my life, threaten to kill me there. And I remember thinking in the moment, is this actually happening, or is this real? And from all of the screaming and yelling that was going on in the car, it was my car, they stole it, and began to drive away. And I thought, where, I don't know where I'm going, nobody knows necessarily where I am. And I'm driving away, these people are driving away with me, and what's going to happen? And in that moment, of course, all kind of things are running through your mind, and they began to tell me, if you don't do everything we ask you to do or tell you to do tonight, we're going to kill you. And I'm begging, and I say, please, I have a son at home. You can take the money, take the jewelry, take the car. The people had done a drive-by shooting already on someone. They had stolen some property and was on the run, and they needed a hostage, and I was that hostage. And they shot another woman down through the night. They shot another woman in the stomach and left her there to bleed. And, and they took me in the woods. They beat me, burned me, raped me, hung me up in a closet, then took me out back to the guy that was the leader of the gang. He said, take her out back and kill her. And he told the young man, he said, if you don't kill her, we're going to kill you. And they cut me down from the closet, put me in the car, wrapped in sheets, bloodied. And he he's driving around, and he takes me to the back of a warehouse and says to me, as he's pointing the gun to me, he said, "Do you have any last words? Because you're about to die. You heard them. If I don't kill you, they're going to kill me." And I looked at him and said, you got the gun in your hand. If you're going to kill me, kill me. But I want you to know that my life is not in your hands. It is in God's hands. And I forgive you for everything that you've done to me and everything that you're about to do, and that I love you and God loves you." And young man looked at me and started cursing. He got quite angry and started saying, What are you talking about? Don't you know you're about to die? You don't love me. God doesn't love me. He said, "Where was God when I needed him? Where was God when I was a baby? My mom fed me crack when I was a baby. All I know is how to hustle. This is what I've been doing all my life." And I told him, I said, "I don't care where you've been, what you come from. God loves you, and I love you, and I will not die with unforgiveness in my heart." And he started crying, and he started actually arguing with himself. The conversation switched to just him and himself, and he's cussing and arguing with himself, and he started the car. He restarted the car and started driving around. We're hitting telephone poles and running into stuff, but he's like back and forth in his head. And all of a sudden, he stops the car in the middle of nowhere, and he says, "Get out of the car." He says, "I can't kill you. God won't let me kill you." And I got out of the car. I had to crawl. I got out of the car. It was on the ground. I crawled, and I kept crawling until I saw some lights coming from the highway. And I looked up, and across the road, across the street, this was in Mobile, Alabama, there was an apartment complex. And I made it over to the apartment complex trying to get some help from someone. And I passed out at the bottom of some steps. And when I came to, the ambulance had been called, and I was on my way to the hospital. So God has miraculously, you know, assigned angels to me all my life. And he kept me alive for such a time as this. And so I'm thankful that even when we don't understand the situation or what we're in or why it's happening, that just the mentioning of his name, just the mention of his love and his power will change an entire situation. It will change the heart of somebody who's not had constant contact with him. And it will even change the heart of the person who thinks they know him but really don't. And it was not until that moment I began to know for myself that God is real, which is why I minister like I do with the passion that I do, because nobody can tell me that God is not real, that Christ is not the anointed one, and that his anointing does not destroy yokes. So that's why I don't live a yoked up life, because I've seen the power of what his anointing can do. And that is my testimony.
Dr. Sutton, every time I hear you tell this, and I think this may be the third time, and I don't hear it a lot, because I love what you say, I don't live there. And a lot of people, I want people to hear that again, because we get in situations and circumstances happen to us in our lives, and we may say we're okay, but we still live there. And I can tell when someone is still living there, when they tell the story, how they tell it. You know, there's a difference between telling your story as a victim and telling your story as a victor. You tell your testimony like a victor. Talk to some of us tonight who can't move forward. We're still telling our story, but we're still there. Our bodies are in the future. Our livelihood is in the future. You know, we've gotten acquired some accomplishments in life. We've moved on, but we still live there. Talk to the ladies that are still living there in that moment and can't seem to let it go.
Well, when you are still living there, like you said, it's an effect on everything you do. You know and realize you're there when no matter how you try to press forward, no matter how you try to move forward, there's a hindrance there. And you keep finding yourself going right back to the same cycle and right back to the same places, thinking, "I should be further ahead, but I'm not." One of the things that we have to understand as people is that in order for freedom to occur, truth has to occur. And a lot of times we go to church and think that I'm going to get deliverance, and I can get delivered and I'm going to be fine, but no deliverance takes place without truth. The Bible says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, meaning that, number one, it has to be you. It has to be personal. It doesn't matter how many times you hear it from somebody else. If you don't have an experiential knowledge, knowing, if you don't have the applied science of how the truth actually works and works in your life, then it will never make you free. The only reason that I'm free is because I know the truth about my destiny. I know the truth about who I am. I also know the truth about the situation. I know that that no matter what the situation was designed to do, it did not do it. It did not win. And I know that I came out as the winner. Nobody can tell me that I'm not a superhero, because I've seen the experiential power of God work through my life. So I already know that I'm the winner. So it doesn't mean it has to come from somebody else. It becomes my absolute truth. When truth is absolute, it doesn't need anything else to influence it. I don't have to feel like the victor in order to be the victor. The situation doesn't have to change in order for me to be the victor. I don't have to have somebody remind me every day. It is just the truth. It just is. Like God, he just is. He doesn't have to have everybody believe in him to be. He's still God. And when you know the truth, that truth makes you free. And so when we are stuck, it is simply because we still have not yet realized that truth in that area. That just because something bad happened to you doesn't mean that it controls you, because mind is always over matter. What happened to you was a matter, but your mind has to overcome it. Your mind always has to be over it. How do we do that? The Bible teaches us the concept to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When I take on the mind of Christ, I also take on his nature, and his nature says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I get to live in a place of truth. Whenever you are still stuck, you're still living in the lie. And whenever you live in a lie, you're obligated to live out the effects of the lie. You're obligated to live out what the lie says. For instance, if you say that, if you feel sick, and you start saying or repeating, well, I don't feel good, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, because you've now told that lie to your body is now obligated to line up with what you have rehearsed and said, because out of our mouth, out of our tongue, in order comes forth the issues of life. The word, the power of life and death is in our tongue. That word power means custody. My life is in my custody. It is in my safekeeping. And what I speak out of my mouth will determine how I live my life. So if I speak the lie, I'm obligated to perform the lie. But when I speak the truth, then the truth begins to make me free from the obligation of the lie. And we are believers. And we say we really believe because the Bible tells us to. It says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Well, when I believe a thing, I become to know that thing, and then the knowing of the truth of that thing makes me free. Now, the thing about the word believe, I'm a linguist, so I like to break words down. The thing about the word believe, if you break it down, it's B first, B-E, then it's L-I-E, and then it's V-E. The word be by definitions means to exist in, to be, to exist in a thing as the thing. The word at the end, the letters at the end, V-E, is the word they. It is a German word that was invented during World War One to say victory. So when we are the be and the they, we are supposed to exist in victory. That's what we're called to do. To believe means to exist in victory. But right in the middle of existing and victory is L-I-E. So our job as believers is to fight the lie in the middle of where you are, because just as soon as you tell yourself, I'm over this, I'm healed from this, then the lie that's in the middle of that is going to come up. When you're trying to work from the beginning to the end of a thing, then you always have to fight the lie in the middle. So the way that we get free is that we have to, number one, we can't live from our past, because I'm forgetting those things which are behind behind me and I press forward toward the mark of a higher calling. If I live in the past, I live in fear. So I have to live from my future. So the future me is already victorious. The future me already has it. The future me says that he will perfect that which concerns me. So I just simply live from the future. And I tell people when I meet them, oh, I'm from the future. I'm not from here now. So everything that happened to me in the past does not really, you know, it doesn't matter because I live from the future. So it's just like a person who says, I see myself being a millionaire. I see myself, or for us women, when we say we want to lose weight, when you say, I see myself losing about 20 pounds, I see myself being a size 14. Well, if you live from the past, then you diet. But if you live from the future, you change your lifestyle. And so a diet just creates a cycle of doing the same thing over again every year. You try it, you do it, and then you fail at it, then you go back and try to do it again. But if you live from the future of what you actually see, then you change your lifestyle. Because if I'm this size in my future, that means in order to maintain that size, I eat a certain way, I live a certain way, I dress a certain way. And so in order to do it, I already have to become it, and that's how I maintain my freedom. I live from my future, and I continually fight the lie in the middle with the word of God. I call it truth therapy. And as a therapist, that's what we do. Therapy, or the word therapeia, which comes from the Greek, is medicine. It is when you use medicine continually over a thing that combats disorder. Well, when we look at disorder, the word dis is to be separated from. So disorder means I'm separate from order. Whenever I live separate from order, I have to begin to take the right medicine to bring me back into order. And the only thing that sets me back in order is the truth. So the truth has to become my daily medication. It has to become my daily word. It has to become my daily confession. It has to become my daily meditation. I meditate in that word day and night, and then shall I make my way prosperous, and then shall I have good success, so says the word of God in the book of Joshua. So it is based upon my ability to exist in victory, and the way that I do that is I have to continually fight the lie in the middle.
You know what? I have to say, this whole lie thing, you know, people – I say this all the time. I tell people, you need to stop having lie rehearsal in your head. Because when you because you rehearse the same lie over, and I call it lie rehearsal. You know, we have choir rehearsal, play rehearsal. I call it lie rehearsal. And and that means that you replay this thing over and over and over and over and over again. And then you can stop saying it, but the enemy already knows what buttons to push. So he makes sure that same track gets played in your hearing somewhere, that same behavior, that same kind of man will come up, that same kind of job will pop up, that same kind of, so whatever you're thinking, you speak, and whatever you speak, you create. And so I tell people all the time, I tell myself, stop having lie rehearsal in your head, cancel that committee meeting that's going to go over all the things that happened to you, that could have happened to you, that someone else said should have happened to you, and start living in the future. And I like what you said. Hey, I'm from the future. So I'm pretty sure when you tell a couple of people that, they probably scratch their head and say, okay, she might not be right, but I'm going to hear what else she got to say. So we talk about these things, and we talk this talk, and we walk this walk because we really believe it, and we live in it.
Right.
And so we're grateful that you're here tonight to talk to us about moving forward. We're going to take a very a little short break. I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk more about moving forward, these different things that we happen to come across in life as we move forward, those hiccups and bumps in the road that hit us. You know how you think you got it, you got your groove, you got your momentum, and bam, you know, something comes. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from this very, very short break. Thank you so much, Dr. Sutton. Hold on. We'll be back in a second.
I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of God. I am enslaved to God, an expression of the life of Christ. He is my life. I am strong in the Lord. I am forgiven, redeemed, healed, delivered. I am free from all bondage of shame and defeat. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. I've been born with a price. I'm no longer my own. I answer to a high. new creation, made in the image of God. I am chosen, a new creation, made in the image of God. I am chosen, a new creation, made in the image of God. I am victorious.
I am
born with the Christ.
This show segment is brought to you by Rise Management and Consulting Firm. Rise Management and Consulting Firm is helping you rebuild your credit. Learn how to understand your credit, read your credit score, understand your credit rights, repair your credit, legally watch your credit score improve within 30 days. You'll get consultations, unlimited email access, and 10% off your first product purchase. For more information, visit www.risemcf.com. That's www.risemcf.com. Or visit them on Facebook, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, helping you rebuild your credit.
That's right. Thank you so much to Rise Management and Consulting Firm and Shoot 'Em Right Women Magazine, two sponsors for Glam Network Radio and right on the Blog Talk Radio server. Just to share some exciting news with you, Glam Network Radio is going to be moving to a future home very, very soon, and we're excited about that. We can't release the information any more than what I've said already, but we are on our way to shifting gears and moving forward, and I appreciate all of you that have been listening in faithfully, tuning in faithfully. Numbers are creeping up just a little bit, but we're going to shift gears and give you guys more access to more music, more fun, more interaction, and everything, y'all. We're going to go on Facebook Live and do the show and all of that. So we're very, very, very excited. I'll be right when we went to break. You heard from Kezia Alford. I am victorious. You can go to Kezia Alford Music and find her on Facebook, and you can order her project as well. And in the opening top of the show, we played LaTanya Powers' Life Support. You need to go get that. You can also purchase that single on iTunes and all of the other multimedia outlets. I'm so excited, y'all. I'm just really, really excited, like way past excited, to hear this wonderful testimony, story, whatever you want to call it. You can call it a testimony, you can call it a story, you can call it a movie. I may have to work that into one of my episodes somewhere. I don't know. We'll talk about that. But, you know, this is one of those things that you have to tell because when people see you in a victorious state, they don't know what you what it cost you. You know, we look at the cross, Dr. Sutton, and we, you know, we're the first one to say Jesus paid it all. He died for my sins. And, you know, we say it, we kind of flip it off like, well, he died, you know. But, we do because we weren't there, you know. But we have to have a supernatural experience with salvation to really appreciate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But when we get into situations where we actually reach death or we're looking death in the face and we come out of that in a resurrected, that's when those of us that actually have that experience like that, that's when we look back and say, you know what, Jesus?
Right.
I get it. And when you said in the earlier part of the testimony, you told the assailant, do you have any last words? And you said, I forgive you. It reminded me of Jesus when Jesus was on the cross and when Jesus was bleeding and dying. And I remember when I went through that ordeal, as well. And after I said, God, you know, why do you keep pulling on me? I'm in the middle of this situation and I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm bleeding. You know, almost died. Why are people pulling? Why do you let people call? And, you know, he said, look at the cross. He said, when Jesus was bleeding and dying, he still ministered to the thief. And then, not only did he minister to the thief, Jesus died for all the people that were before him, and then he died yet for the people that were killing him.
Right.
Because even
right.
while they were killing him, Dr. Sutton, what did he say? He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe
right.
that man had an encounter with salvation, because even though he was getting ready to kill you and leave you for dead, and you said, I forgive you, that problem he has, you confronted that demon in him, and then he's still trying to figure it out. Like, are you seriously going to love me? Are you seriously
right.
going to forgive me? God, what? You know? And so that's a whole other level of forgiveness. And we talked about forgiveness the last time you were on here. But now that you are living free, you know, we get free. We're soaring like eagles. I don't
right.
know if this happened to you, but it's happened to me. We're soaring like eagles. you know, we got, you know, certain parts of our life are flowing really good. You know, we got a rhythm. We're moving and moving forward. You know, we bounce into the music and everything is going good. And bam, you hit a wall. A hiccup comes. An air pocket. You know, turbulence comes. Talk to us about maintaining the freedom that we want to have. Because I've seen people fly and take off and hit or landing. We do it all the time. Tell us how not to come in for a landing, Dr. Sutton.
Well, like you said, we've all done that. We've all been there. I mean, even in that process of healing from that ordeal, you know, we go to the church and we say, well, just pray and everything is going to be okay. We say, oh, okay, now that I've recovered from that, I can go. And then we know that it's going to be a part of our ministry. And so we start to be appreciative and we go and we take off running. And but we don't prepare for where we're going because we take off running based on the now, based on the situation, but not seeing the overall picture. And like you said, you come to a place where you hit this big brick wall or you have to come in for a landing because we have not yet learned how to be in a holding pattern and be okay with it. Because just because the traffic tower says to the plane, you can't go right now, doesn't mean you necessarily have to land. It means that you have to learn how to be in a holding pattern and be okay without forcing the process right then, because there are some things that God still need to work out in you. And so when you force the process and when you start trying to make things happen, what you're doing, you're already defeating your own self. And you're saying, God, I've lost confidence in my ability to do this. And we have to understand how to be in that place and be comfortable and be content, whether a base or a bound. And we understand that through looking at a river, like you just said, a river will only continue its flow when it has filled up all its empty spaces. And so if you get to a place where you're no longer flowing, that means there's somewhere that you already left empty. And you need to go back and decide, where is it that I need to flow at? Where is it that I'm not flowing, that's still empty in my life? What area is still empty? Because there's no point in going forward if you still got empty spaces where you are. There's no point in trying to go over and complete over somewhere else when you say, as this river, I've not filled up where I am. And when we learn to do that right, perfected, then out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. And so if rivers are flowing out of me, that means that no area in my life should be empty. Every area of my life, every space that he's given me to occupy should be flowing and should be doing something. The Bible says, he told them when he passed out the talents, he says, until I come. That word occupy means do business. Every place in my life ought to be having a business transaction going on. My love life has a business transaction. I'm giving and receiving love. My money has transaction. My kids and I, my ministry, everything is doing its job and it's performing well according to the word of God. But if that place is empty, then as a river, I can't flow. And a lot of times we're still trying to grow. We're still trying to do. We're still trying to make something happen. And when we keep clashing, we get disappointed and we say, okay, I'm just going to stop because the enemy is after me, this is going on. We blame the devil for everything, but we have to learn how to take responsibility for our own responses to things that have happened in our lives. If we don't learn how to take responsibility, we will sit around and blame everybody and everything for where we are, and that is what causes us not to be able to move again. And it's all right, even if you have to stop and regroup, but it is not okay not to start again, because the way that we know that there is a God, one of the top reasons that Thomas Aquinas gave to know that there's a God is because we have movement in our solar system. We have movement. Everything in the earth moves. Even the table that that you're sitting at or the chair that you're sitting on. You may not see the particles that are in there, but everything inside of it is moving because everything has particles and atoms in it and energy in it. And so just because the particles are closer together, they're more dense. It makes it look solid. But when you spread them apart, they become liquid and they liquefy. And then they begin to flow like water. So whenever you're not moving, that means you're too compact. There's too much inside of you that you are not giving out to somebody that you have not allowed to flow, and you have become solid. You've become stagnated. You've become stuck. So you need to literally liquefy yourself and allow yourself to flow like water into every area of your life. That means you need to pour out into somebody. You need to pour until so the oil can keep coming out until there's nothing left. Until there's nothing left. So whenever you do it, whenever you're stagnated, that is what's happening. So you said you're looking at a place, I'm running, I'm feeling like God has called me to do this, but all of a sudden nothing is working right. So when we think about that, we have to think about that our physical life is surrounded by what is called cause and effect. So if you're not moving, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling like, how did I get here? If you change the cause, the effect will change. So you got to begin to determine, am I my own cause, or am I God's cause? Even David, when he got ready to fight Goliath, he said, is there not a cause? Because he understood the cause, he already determined what the effect would be. He already determined what the outcome would be. David knew that he would beat Goliath. That's why when we preach Goliath, we call him a giant. But David never called him a giant. David called him an uncircumcised Philistine, because he already knew that anything that comes against the armies of the living God is going to be defeated, because my cause is God. God has called me to be here. So he called him an uncircumcised Philistine, meaning that you are an immigrant. You are not part of the promise of God for my life. You are an outsider, and so you have to go. So anything that comes into your life, instead of viewing it as a giant or an obstacle, you have to say you are an uncircumcised Philistine. Even when people, you don't have to cuss them out. Just look at them and say, oh, you uncircumcised Philistine. You are outside of the covenant. You're not connected with me. You're not connected to the vision. I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to diminish myself because of you. I don't have to come down to your level at all. What I have to begin to do is recognize that you are here to be a distraction, and what you need is for me to sink my who I am right into your head. You need for me to throw this and hit you. And what did he do? He just, all he said was, look, I'm going to fight, because how dare you come against the cause of my God. And so when we think about that and we determine the cause that we're doing what we're doing, our effect will change. And when we determine that, we will stop putting our energy in the wrong place. A lot of times we stop because our energy should have never been there in the first place. But when you waste energy, when you waste energy, you run out of fuel to keep going, because energy is fuel. So you have to begin to ask yourself, what's taking up my energy? What am I giving it to? And is it worth it? Is it worth it? Does it deserve my energy? Is it worth my investment? Because if I'm running out of fuel for something that does not give back to me, that does not feed me, that has no reciprocity in it, then this is the wrong place to be putting my energy at. So you have to begin to ask yourself that. And when you do that and determine that in order for the effects to change, I need to change my causes. I need to change the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing. Because a lot of times the stuff we do in the church, we do for performance. We do to make a name. We do to get famous. We do to look and appear as if we're living right, because we think we're going to gain brownie points with God. And we do that because we go around and say, I'm a servant of the Lord God. I serve God. I want to serve the people. I want to serve the people. And so we get this cliche-ish stuff, and we keep doing it, and we put burdens on ourselves. Because what you have to understand is, whenever you're serving God and helping people, you have an energy and a passion to do so. But whenever you're serving people and trying to help God, you become enslaved to the people you serve. You can't serve
That's
people
right.
and disguise it under helping God, because God doesn't need your help that way. You have to serve God and help people. You can't serve people to help
mm-hmm.
God. And so when we do it backwards, we become enslaved, and then we wonder why we have no fuel left. We wonder why we can't continue and make it through to whatever it is we're called to do.
You know, I hear two words in this answering this question. I hear one word. My husband slapped me with this word last year, and we've been saying this in our home. You know, Father, give us fluidity, give us a flow
mm-hmm.
in our
mm-hmm.
living, in our lifestyle. You know, and you have a fluid life, an uninterrupted life. Does not mean
right.
that you won't have things to face, that you won't have something that you have to overcome. But fluidity gives you the momentum to keep moving forward, even in the midst of some type of situation or controversy. And this right here, this word fluidity, and how
mm-hmm.
you used it as well, it just means that, you know, life is gonna have interruptions. We got this really false conception, preconceived notion that victory means I don't have to fight no more. Victory means that, you know, nothing's going to hurt me anymore. And we do this in church. We give people a false sense of confidence when we should be telling them, you know, that you are victorious. And the reason you're victorious is because something's going to hit your camp that's going to cause you to fight, and you are, okay, future tense, victorious. You're not going to be victorious, but you are victorious. That's what that fluid life means. And the second word that I hear you saying is, you know, is maintain, when your cause doesn't line up with the demand, you need to stop and regroup. Or I think I heard your bishop say reroute. I think he used rerouting a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Jake used rerouting a couple of weeks ago. So it's okay to stop. I say it all the time. It's okay to stop. It's okay to put the dry erase board up and just erase everything. Reroute. Ask for what and move forward. Talk to us about having to erasing that thing, because, you know, we get so caught up, I got to do it like this. I got to keep going. And sometimes you've gone as far as you were supposed to go. You just got in your flesh, as we say. And trying to ride the thing out till the wheels fall off.
Right. I think
how do we erase
that
learned, thing and move on?
Right. I think that's a learned behavior that we
mm-hmm.
feel like if this doesn't work, I failed in some way. But anybody who has success will tell you that they failed their way there. You know, success is
mm-hmm.
really how you know a series of failures, and failure is only through your perception of it. It's really based on how you see it, because as I was saying, you can look back over your life and you can see the series of causes and events and how that led you to where you are. Because whatever
mm-hmm.
decisions you made, whether you made the decision based on the fact of you having good fortune or something happening good in your life, or whether something negative happened, the decision you made set off a chain of events. And you're absolutely right. Having fluidity will be able to help you overcome whatever those events are. It's the ability
yeah.
to liquefy yourself. And that's why I believe, because I like to take everything and I like to put it in practical terms,
mm-hmm.
of the applied science of the word of God, because that is what the word of wisdom is. It is the applied science of the word of
yeah,
God.
That's
I believe
right.
that's why our
mm-hmm.
body is made up of over 80% water, so that we can adapt,
mm-hmm.
so that we can liquefy, because water takes the shape of anything that it begins that's holding it. If you pour water in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. If you pour water in a bucket, it becomes the bucket, which is why in the beginning of creation, the Spirit of God hovered first over the water. So if you take that concept and you go to the wedding at Canaan, and so a situation arose that Jesus was not ready for. When they ran out of wine, his mother comes to him and says to him, they are out of wine. He says, what does that have to do with me? And my hour has not yet come. I'm not necessarily ready for the situation. I didn't necessarily expect it, but this is why he says to the people, fill the water pots with water, because whatever I'm in, I can take the shape of. Whatever's going on, I can adapt to it. I can become liquefied to it. I can become fluid enough to adjust my thinking, to adjust my perception, to adjust my thought process so that the moment doesn't take me over, but I overtake the moment. So literally, Jesus, who was the new wine, he was the new wine. So literally, he liquefied himself, put himself in the pot, and fed himself to the guests. And they say, you saved the best wine for last, because it is a foreshadowing of the fact that Jesus was the mediator of a better covenant, and he had came last. He was the New Testament or the last testament. That's why we have him as the last will and testament. So we have a type of shadowing of that new wine, the Holy Spirit, that now everybody's getting to taste of. So if we would just learn to adapt, to liquefy ourselves, not to become so tense in the moment, then we can begin to take our lives back, and we can begin to see movement again. And you do that by, you have to step away from the situation and get the bigger picture. You have to get the bigger picture, because you have to understand that what's going on right now is not because of my now. It is because of my future. Like I said, you have to live from the future. And when you get that, and you can understand that this is not because of now. I can't find the answer to how to deal with this in now. You know, because if I look at the circumstances now, the answer will not come. The only thing that I can see now is the circumstance. And so I will begin to magnify the circumstance and never see the answer. But if I can detach myself from the moment that I'm in and see the bigger picture, what I do, I begin to create an energy around me that makes everything that's around me have to behave the same way I'm behaving. It makes everything around me have to detach from the thing itself and begin to work for me, which is why the scripture says all things work together. So we actually have the ability to make everything start working together for us if we would just detach from the current situation and see the bigger picture. Which is why we have to see the end from the beginning. How do we know we can do that? Because the Bible teaches us that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, if you abide in him and he abides in you and I'm in him, he's in me, we're one, then if he's Alpha and Omega, so am I. If he can see the end from the beginning, so can I. I can envision and look and see that this is not where I'm supposed to stay. This is not where I'm supposed to be. God has already shown me my destiny. And if I know that, then I don't try to find my answers in the situation that I'm going through now. I look to the future, and I get my answers from there and say, if I made it out in my future, if I made it out in everything he showed me, if he's already shown me in the end that I am victorious, that means that I did something to enhance that victory or to walk in that victory. Whatever I did is what I actually need to do right now. And so I can't look at that, find that answer if I focus on what's the right now. When I get that and begin to do that, then that wisdom of being able to see from the end to the beginning, back to the beginning, is when we begin to step into a higher level of living. And that higher level of living is we begin to bring the unmanifested thing into the manifested. We begin to bring what we hope for into the realm of the seen. And when we do that, we understand that, okay, I don't have to stay stuck here. And the way we do that is by first understanding that we are not human beings. We are spiritual beings enjoying a human life.
Yes, come on,
we're not human. We're not human beings trying to be a spiritual person. We are spiritual beings enjoying a human life. And when we access that and get that truth, remember that truth, when we get that truth in our head, we begin to access and live in what is called our superior self. And when we live in our superior self, that's where my superhero training comes from. When we live in our superior self, we have superior conduct, we have superior viewpoint, and we have superior wisdom. And so when we allow those three things to operate in our life, that's how we move again. We have superior conduct, we have superior viewpoint, and we have superior wisdom. Superior doesn't mean that I think I'm better than everybody else. It means that I act and I live my life according to a higher standard. It means I live according to my own higher standard, the standard that I can believe for, because I can only live out of what I can believe for. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. So my faith frames up my world. I get to live in my world in whatever I can believe for. I get to have it in my world. Well, if you frame the devil in your world all the time, that's what you get. If you frame negativity in your world, if you frame defeat in your world, if you frame your past in your world, that's what you get, because it's according to your own belief. But if you begin to have the understanding that I'm spiritual first before I'm human, then that means that I have superior conduct and superior viewpoint and superior wisdom. So, for instance, say that somebody says, they get a memo at work that says, you're going to lose my job, your job. They're going to be laying everybody off. So you know that in the future, you're going to be having to look for another job. So if you allow the situation to get you and you start thinking from fear and start thinking from now, if you start thinking from the past when you didn't have money and how hard it was, then your conduct changes according to what you're believing right then about the moment. But you defeat the future of fear by also the knowledge of the future. So what is the knowledge of the future? If I get a bad word, the knowledge is he shall supply my need according to his riches in glory. He shall supply it. So if I use the knowledge of what I know he is or who I know he is, if I know use that truth, it means that I can go to work every day knowing that I'm going to lose the job and still be okay and still have superior conduct, still do my job to the highest quality until it's time for me to leave, because guess what? I already know that he's going to supply what I need. Why? I've already seen my future, and my future has money and resources in it. My future has wealth in it. My future has everything I need in it. When I do that, I have superior conduct. I have superior viewpoint. I have superior wisdom, and I live according to a higher standard. When I live according to that higher standard, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the living God will raise up a standard. And the reason why we're drowning is because the standard is not high enough. But the Spirit of the living God will raise up a standard against him. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, your standard, your perception is your standard. It will be the difference between whether you see, when the flood is coming, do you see yourself drowning? Do you see yourself swimming? Or do you see an ark? Do you see yourself? You have to ask yourself that question. Do I see myself drowning here? Do I see that I have to swim here? Do I have to keep swimming and fighting for my life? Or am I just going to ride in the ark? Am I just going to ride in the safety that God has already created for me, because he promised to protect me? He promised to bring me through. He promised to complete that concerns me. He promised the ark, the word around. The same thing that Noah was in is the word around. It's the same thing that's used for the ark of the covenant with the Holy Spirit traveled in. So if I understand that he preserves me in that, he keeps me in that, and that word around ark is called a mummy case. That's the original definition of the Hebrew, a mummy case, meaning that sometimes the God will let you look dead so that the enemy won't bother you anymore, but you're not actually dead. And you've got to know that just because it looks like this in this moment doesn't mean that this is what it actually is, because my future has movement in it. That's why he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And when I understand that, I can have superior conduct in any situation. I'm not going to change my conduct just because the situation changes. I'm not going to change my praise. I'm not going to change what I'm talking about. If he was good yesterday, he's still good today. If he was good when I had friends, he's good when all my friends walked away. Yeah. If he was good when I put when I had a meal on the table, he's still the same good God. When I look in the cupboard and there's nothing to eat in there, if he was a waymaker then, he's a waymaker now. He never changes. Why? Because he's love, and love is consistent. It always says the same thing all the time. And I think about that because I love my husband. My husband and I were so in love. He's the best person in the world. He's my earthly Lord. But every morning when we wake up, he tells me, baby, I love you. You're so beautiful. You're so awesome. He tells me this every single day. I can't live without you. You complete me. He puts it on Facebook. Uh-huh. Anybody who knows me, knows my husband, you can see him talking about me all the time. My pictures are everywhere he goes. If he goes to work, I can walk in his job. Everybody on his job knows me. Why? Because he loves me. He tells me the same thing every day. Now, you and I as women know that when we wake up in the morning, our hair's all over the place. We got crust mm-hmm. in our eyes. We got a little, you know, mm-hmm. stuff going. Our breath is not smelling the way that it should. So fresh and so clean. But he looks at me not based on what I look like right then. He's basing it on the love that he has for me from his heart. So when God looks at you, he's not basing it on what you look like right then. And because he's saying, the love that I have for you, I had it before you ever got here. I had it before you were even mm-hmm. born. We love him because he first loved us. And while we were yet sinners, while we were yet not right, while we were yet not doing it, he died for the ungodly. So love does the same thing and all the time. It speaks the same. It stays consistent. And that love doesn't change just because, you know, we may have a day where I say one thing or I feel like one thing and he feels like another and we're not vibing like we usually would. Doesn't change the way he loves me. He still says the same thing. I love you. I want you. I need you. Doesn't change the fact that we're intimate. I don't care how mad we are. Doesn't change the intimacy.
Yes.
It don't change none of that. Why? Because we
Come
are
on,
in
babe.
A covenant together. We're in unity
That's
together.
Right.
And he still reaches for me the same way. When we understand that about our God, that he does that, and when we do that back to him, and we have that kind of love flowing towards him, that no matter what my day look like, it doesn't change my relationship with you. It doesn't change who I am with you. It doesn't change what you look like to me, God. It doesn't change. Just because
mm-hmm.
the situation look bad, you don't look back to me. You always look the same. You're always beautiful to me. You're always the best to me. It will change how we serve him and how we act with him when things are difficult for us. And it will. That's with how we will continue to move. If we change the way we look at him just because things are bad, then we will stop every time.
Every single time. And that's it right there. Stopping. We stop every single time when we
mm-hmm.
don't know who we are. I went through an identity crisis. I think it was right after I had my second child, and I just didn't know who I was. I said, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna get it together. Okay, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now, but right now I need to start with getting my life in alignment. And before I could get the thought out of my mind and asking God who I was, he began to sovereignly speak scriptures to me that I didn't even know were in the Word. And I pulled out my concordance. And this concordance was so old and beat up. And I think it was my mama's concordance. I had got a hold to it somehow. And I had to look up the words I was hearing in the Spirit. And there were exact scriptures that he had spoke to me sovereignly about who I was. And so that identity crisis ended. I knew who I was. But then the struggle and the fight began to happen. Now I got to be what he said I am, you know. And Dr. Sutton, I'll never forget this moment. I was in worship. I was a praise and worship leader at my church. And I began to sing, you know, I am that I am. And I thought I was talking to God. I said, he is the I am that I am. And so the Lord's talking to me while I'm singing, okay? And he says, no, you're talking about you.
Mm.
And I said, explain that, please. In my mind, I'm having a full-blown thought conversation with God while I'm worshiping and taking the people into worship. And I said, explain that to me. He says, you are me.
Mm-hmm.
The I am. You're an I am. You're the I am that I am.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So which I am are you? You know, and so that starts the identity crisis ending when you know who you are. You are who he is. You know, I'm so glad you dipped into superhero training. I was hoping you would have. I'm so, so excited to hear that. Prophet Kim Clement, and we're still praying for him. God bless him. We send our prayers to him. He is recovering. And we thank God for that. But he said something. I met him in California one time, and he just ran this whole service on this one statement. I think we sung it for 10 minutes. And it was a little ditty that he prophetically released. And it says, I'm somewhere in the future, and I look much better than I look right now.
Right,
and as
right.
we began to sing it, you know, I mean, sis, the people lost their minds. And they began to sing, and dancers came out of nowhere. People that had never danced before a day in their life was coming out here. What? I'm somewhere in the future? You know, and I don't know if they were dancers in the future. I don't know what they saw. But, I mean, it just released a whole prophetic move in the place. And we began to declare, you know, what we are in the future. That's where we live right now, you know, and it looks so much better than this. So much better
right.
than this. So that's a part of that supernatural and that superhero, you know, mindset that you are releasing, that you just released over the air tonight. I really, really appreciate it. I'm glad you got into superhero training. You guys, if you want superhero training, you're going to have to get on board and find her on the internet. And I can't say enough how powerful it is to interact with you every time we do something on the air. I really appreciate you releasing this wisdom. I'm going to have to go back and replay this one myself just to make sure I didn't miss anything. You know, and we do this. I don't know if you do it, but sometimes when I'm doing something and I'm talking to one of my mentees, I got to go back and replay what I said. Sometimes I hit record when I know God is talking, and I hit the record button on my phone while I'm talking because I want to know.
Right.
I would go back and hear what the Lord said through me, because sometimes it's not us that's talking to you. It's not always us. Some, you know, God does supernatural things through our voices, where our voice print reaches to people that are called to hear it. You're called to reach, and there are people called to hear you. And so
right.
I appreciate you coming on the air tonight. I knew to go ahead and just give us a few extra minutes because I know how you operate, know how you flow. I know what's going on. So I want people to go and get this book, Letting Go and Living Now, and by Dr. Saquita Sutton. I think I met you a few years ago at a women's conference, and I bought the book. I brought the book home. It's an easy read, but not an easy read. You can get through the book, but then you're going to go back and work the book. It's a reading, and it's a reading / workbook. Tell us where we can get Letting Go and Living Now.
You can get it from my website at www.sequedasuttonglobal.com, and that's SEQUEDASUTTON.com. So visit my website. Amazon.com is also there, and it'll bless your life. It will bless you. So I pray that
it
you
sure will.
Go and get it. Mm-hmm. But that's how they can get it.
Now, The prescription for women, we talked about this book the last time, and, you know, some people asked me about the book, and I told them, you got to go get this book. I can't really explain it to you. The prescriptions that you've given us in this talk about growing up, stop throwing up, that was one of my favorites, study the ant, change your clothes, act like a lady, think like God. I'm so glad you wrote that one because I couldn't get with the act like a lady, think like a man. I couldn't get with that for some reason. It just didn't happen. I don't know how I think like a man. I got it. You know, we get caught up in semantics, don't we, Dr. Sutton? We get caught up in word semantics and you know, stuff like that, and we take words when they really mean something else, and we get twisted and make it sound like it's something else, you know. So I don't want to get caught up in that, but I understood where he was coming from. But I'm glad you wrote it. And so you guys need to go on her website or go on Amazon and get the book. And now how do we get superhero training? What is that like? I did get a chance to talk to you about that. You have a team ready and waiting to do superhero training to help you, that assist you, that are awesome. Your sister's awesome. If you guys don't know who her sister is, you go back to the top of the show and listen to Life Support. That is her sister. Both of these women are nuts. I'm just saying that. They are bananas for God.
Yes.
They both will preach.
My sister's amazing.
Over the bench and through a hole in the floor. I had the opportunity to hear both of them minister the word of God, and I'm telling you guys, we'll never forget them. But tell us how we get superhero training.
Well, superhero training comes in different forms. If it's for churches or leadership or for teams, we have a team that we come to your ministry and we do it. So you can go on my website again, and there is a ministry request form there that you can sign up for superhero training. If you want personal coaching and life coaching, I am a certified expert life coach. You can also go to my website, inbox me on Facebook. I have two Facebook pages. Dr. Saquita Sutton is my official fan page, and my personal page, Saquita Sutton. You can inbox me there. But either way, you can go to my website again at www.saquitasuttonglobal.com, and there's a request form there for superhero training, whether it's personal or for a group, or whether you want coaching. And I have my own coaching agency. It's called the Sutton Agency of Global Coaches, and whatever your coaching needs are as far as business, ministry, personal development. We do all of those. We will get your life going and moving, or help you set those goals that's necessary to begin to maintain and go forward into what it is that you're called to do by helping to change your perspective and doing what I like to call neuro-linguistic programming. And that is what the superhero training is. What we do is we teach you, like Michelangelo said when he was asked, how did he create the sculpture of the David out of when he was creating it? And he said, David was already in the stone. I just had to cut away everything that was not David. So what we do is show you how to use tools to cut away everything that is not what you see, what your vision is, what your destiny is, everything that is not supposed to be in your life. We teach you how to cut that away because actually David is already in the stone. Your dreams, your business, your romance, your life, what God has predestined for you, what you have desired for yourself, it is already there. The trick is cutting away everything that's not there. And so we teach you how to change your viewpoint enough so that you can be precise and skilled like a surgeon in cutting without hurting yourself what's unnecessary so that you can leave the beautiful creation that God intended you to have so you can live your best life right now.
That's a powerful connection to make, especially in art. I'm a creative, so anything you start talking about art and chiseling and writing and singing and all of that, you really catch my attention. A wonderful example, and Michelangelo did say that. What a beautiful analogy to put in front of the people tonight. Dr. Sutton, thank you again for joining us tonight. Tell your husband thank you for loaning you to us for an hour and some change, and we don't want to keep you too much longer. We've got a busy schedule coming, not coming up. You just live busy, but amen. She knows how to take time off, too.
But yes.
Thank you for stopping by and tell your husband that we appreciate him and your son as well. And we look forward to seeing you again. You know, Glam Network Radio has been a fan of yours for a while, and I've had people email me. I have sent links to the first interview to several women, and they have come back to me and told me how powerful your testimony was for them. A lot of women talk about it. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is because this is Domestic Violence Month. And so we're going to be talking about, not just domestic violence, but violence to women, period. It's been a very, very rough time for women. Just this week, Faith Green, who is a resident of Michigan, I forgot what city that she's in, she lost all four of her children. Her husband killed her children, two of them right in front of her, blew their brains out in front of her while she was tied and gagged after he shot her in the foot and cut her face. He killed her two oldest children in front of her face and then took the babies, 4 and 5 years old, into the car, put a hose in the car, and killed them with carbon monoxide poisoning, and then sat on the porch and called 911 and told them to come and get him. And so this is the kind of stuff that is happening in the earth. The enemy does not care about you. He doesn't have he doesn't care about your kids. He doesn't care that you have a baby. He doesn't care that that's a small child. He does not care that you love God. He does not care anything about you. And so his job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so we need people like you to keep doing what you do. You're such an encouragement and such a powerful tool and such a powerful addition to the kingdom of God. So thank you so much for joining us again. I'm going to have to get at your sister in a minute and have her come on and rip us a new one as well. I love these two ladies right here, you guys. So please go to the website, Dr. Sequita Sutton. You can find her on Facebook. She has a fan page, personal page. She's also on Amazon. You can find her on Google. If you Google her, she will come up, and you'll be able to find her. And by all means, if you're just tuning in, you get to the bottom of the show, please go to the link, www.blogtalkradio.com/glamnetworkradio, and this will be the last show that you see up before we do another one on Thursday. And we will be. You can always have access to hear this testimony again. Again, Dr. Sutton, thank you so much for coming with us tonight. Did you have any last words for everybody that is tuning in and tuning out?
Thank you so much, Apostle, for having us and allowing me to share my gift. I want to just say to everybody that we love you with the love of God, and remember that you were created to create, and that power of creation is inside of you. You are a superhero. Go out and save lives. Help people by giving them your gift. Don't hold it in. Become like that liquid and start to flow, and watch what God does in your life.
Amen. Thank you again. You guys got it, superhero training. You got a good 45 minutes of it. If you didn't get nothing out of the last 45 minutes, you probably weren't listening. So go back and click that link again. And go, if you go by her website, she's going to be sitting right there with the superhero cape on. Gosh, she ain't playing. So thank you so much, Dr. Sutton. And we will be sure to have you on again very, very soon. God bless you. All right, we're wrapping it up. Thank you so much for joining again, Glam Network Radio, on the Blog Talk Network radio server. We are so happy and overjoyed that you joined us tonight. Please tune in again on Tuesday, and we'll have more guests, more shows, more times, and please pray for us because we're going to move forward, you guys. We are moving forward just like no other. We're going to have so much fun in the next future, and also look forward to the Glam conference coming up next year. Look for information there. If you want to know what's going on, just look me up on Facebook, Crystal P. Willingham. You'll see the Glam Network Radio tag next to my name, and that's how you'll know you found me. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you again on next week.
Hi, it's Crystal Willingham inviting you personally to join me every Tuesday and Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio / Glam Network Radio. Every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. for power, triumph, and influence. Brought to you by Glam International. Please join me again every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/ Glam Network Radio. Or you can dial in by phone 646-668-8135. Or for more information, visit my website, thetotalwomanglam.com.